Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Have you ever been in a situation where everyone around you has given up hope? Where the one left that, you know, could do anything at all was God? He's the only one? I know I have. And I know most of you probably have had that experience as well at one time or another anyway. Now, imagine if your career caused you to experience these things on almost a daily basis. Imagine if you had to go to work knowing that you were going to be placed in a situation where not just individuals, but families, multiple people will be facing hopeless situations right in front of you all day long. That would be the career choice our guest initially made, working as an ICU nurse and caregiver where she continued to offer hope and encouragement no matter the situation. And she did this knowing that often, we don't always get to experience healing in this life the way we want it to happen. Tracy Crump may have started out as an ICU nurse, but after 5 years, she transitioned to what she considers now her most important career ever, raising her children and providing homeschooling for her two boys. Through the process of time, she found that she had a knack for storytelling and eventually writing. She has written over 100 pieces of published works, including numerous pieces that were published in Chicken Soup for the Soul, praise God. Her articles have been featured in many national magazines, has appeared in guidepost books, as well as The Upper Room, Light from the Word, and many other devotional publications. She also does proofreading for the Farmer's Almanac and is a freelance editor and presents writers' workshops through Write Life Workshops and at writers' conferences all across this country. Now, after accomplishing all of that, she's releasing her first book in June of 2021 titled Health, Healing, and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. Praise the Lord. Help me welcome to the program, Tracy Crump. Tracy, thank you for taking the time to join us today on the program.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with, other than that brief information I just shared, could you tell us in your own words, who is Tracy Crump?
Well, you pretty much covered it, but well, let's go back to the work I did as an ICU nurse. Actually, it started many years before. I always say I grew up at the hospital because my dad was the medical photographer there at Baptist Wow. Memorial Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee for 29 years. And so I was always used to being around the hospital. And at age 10, I decided I wanted to be a nurse. So I went to school, nursing school there. And then, as you said, I worked 5 years in ICU. And I saw God perform miracles while I was there. Now, I totally agree that God is not always going to perform a physical healing, but He is always ready to perform a spiritual healing. Amen. He is our hope and our Redeemer. I was able, as you said, I went on to what I call start a new career as a stay-at-home mom and a homeschool mom. And then God surprised me with writing because it's not something I ever planned to do. But as anything that God ordains, it's been the biggest blessing in my life.
Amen.
And of all the pieces I've written, I finally got an agent and then a publisher who was interested in publishing my book. And they both said, well, it's about time you're publishing a book and all these other pieces you've written. Anyway, the devotions really speak to health and healing. I know when I looked out there on the internet to see what kind of other books that were available on that topic, I was surprised that there really weren't very many devotional books on this subject. Now, you could find them on health and fitness, dieting, exercise, that kind of thing. And I totally believe in maintaining our health, but Amen. We can't have control. We don't have total yeah. control over our health. Amen. You and I were talking earlier, you were blindsided by an injury.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Amen. We have no control over those things.
And you know, I don't blame God for the accident that happened, but by what did happen, put it like this, if what happened did not happen, had not have occurred, then I would not be doing what I'm doing today.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, and people say, well, did God make it happen so he did this? Well, that's not for me to question, but I do know what the devil meant for harm, God flipped it around on him for good. So, you know, my daughter worked at a local emergency room for 3 years, and some of the experiences that she shared, it's just heartbreaking to say the least. You know,
it is.
How did your faith allow you to minister to those experiencing life-altering, if not life-ending, situations for themselves or their family members or loved ones?
Well, I think a lot of times the nurse is the one. I mean, doctors are wonderful. Doctors, we can do without doctors, but you know, the nurses are the ones on the front line. They're the ones there with the family. They're the first ones to see a problem cropping up, and then they're the ones there when things don't go well to support the family, to support the patient. I've held patients' hands when they passed away, but I've also seen when patients start improving that you didn't ever expect to get better. My book opens with the story of a little 18-month-old girl her stroller was struck by a car, and she flew 30 feet and landed on her head. Mm. When she got to the hospital, her pupils were blown, which means they wouldn't react to light, so which usually indicates brain death. But they rushed her into surgery and tried to relieve the pressure on her brain. Afterwards, a doctor came to me and said, you know, half of her brain is just oatmeal. Mm. You know, it was a very diplomatic thing to say, but he said she's never going to walk or talk again. Mm. And a lot of times when we work in ICU, you know, we get them better. They go out to a regular floor and we never know what happens after that. But God allowed me to find out later on from a nurse that worked on the floor that she had started speaking. She would say wah-wah, asking her mama for water. And before she went home, she walked to her mom.
Praise the Lord.
So you can't tell me.
Glory to God.
Doctors know a lot, but they don't predict. They can't predict the outcome. That's right. They can't predict it. And they're as happy as we are when they're wrong about situations like that.
Did any of these situations ever shake your faith and make you ask, why, God, why?
You know what? There was one man, and I don't tell this story in the book, but that we had in ICU for quite a while. He was in kidney failure, and he would go for dialysis, and they would bring him back to ICU. His potassium level would just drop out, and he would go into ventricular tachycardia, which is a very dangerous rhythm, can end up going straight line from there. And we would have to shock him every night. You know, I worked straight nights. And this was kind of our routine. We had to go in there and shock him when he did that. And we actually, he got better. He started getting improving. His kidneys were improving. We sent him out to the floor. He had gallbladder disease, and I thought he's never going to make it through surgery. He made it through surgery. And then he declined again and came back. And I don't know why, over that man, I usually did not cry. I was taught, and this is crazy, but I was taught in nursing school that you don't cry. That you cannot help a family, you cannot be there to support them if you cry. So I would bite my lip into before I would cry in front of a family. But I cried over that man for some reason. I thought, Lord, why? He got better. We did everything we could. And I absolutely believe in the power of prayer. But I also know that we have a sovereign God. Mm-hmm. And his ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. Yeah. And sometimes he has reasons that we will never know in this life.
Yeah,
I think he can perform miracles. I think he hears our prayers, but I think sometimes he takes people and we don't know why, but he has a reason.
Amen. Amen. And then after all this, you decide to focus on your family. Was that a hard choice to make considering all the time and money and spent on college and getting to that point in your career?
It really wasn't. It was always my goal. I just knew that's what God wanted me to do. And I loved nursing when I did nursing, but I loved being with my family when I stayed home. Amen. And homeschooling was another thing he surprised me with. I never had any intentions to homeschool either.
I was going to ask you about that. Because I know, you know, from what I read, you know, you've been married to your high school sweetheart, your husband, for 45 years or so.
Mm-hmm,
and concerning homeschooling, I mean, based upon the time when this would have all been happening, my wife and I have been married 43 years. So it's roughly the same period of time when we got married. But I know homeschooling wasn't as pervasive as it is today. How difficult was it for you to implement a dedicated and successful homeschooling program?
Well, we didn't have as many resources as today, but we did have some resources, and there were homeschooling curricula out there. We had a very strong homeschool support group here, which we actually, my husband and I, came to lead for the last 6 years that we homeschooled. We had over 100 families, and we would do field trips together. We did classes. Sometimes we did some collective classes. We just fellowships, parties for the kids. So they didn't miss out on anything. You know, a lot of people say, how are you going to socialize your children? Oh, my goodness. That's not the question.
Sometimes kids will find a way.
Sometimes the question is, how are you going to not socialize your children and stay home and homeschool?
Amen. What challenges were there with homeschool? What challenges did you go through with homeschooling?
Well, even though I only homeschooled two, I mean, I know families that have 8 and 10 and 12 kids. Mm. So I only homeschooled two, but they had totally different learning styles. So that was something I had to learn about, how to best teach to each of their learning styles. And it was a joy. One is a very hands-on person, and I am not. I am a visual person, which my other son was visual, so it was a little easier for me to teach him because we both learned the same way. But the other one, I had to have come up with some innovative ways to let him experience things rather than just read about them or hear about them. But it really ended up being the most fun. I really, really enjoyed that.
Amen.
I always say more learning takes place away from the books than in front of them.
Oh, that's true. That's true. How did you get involved with writing during all this time?
Well, I didn't write while we homeschooled. There are some,
really?
Not at all. No, there's some people that do, and I really highly respect them because I don't know how they do that. But I really had no desire to. In fact, I hated writing in school. It was not something I wanted to do, but I felt like God was calling me to write about a family experience. And actually, I sat down first and wrote a whole book. And then I thought, I don't know what to do with this. And I just stuck it in a drawer for about 4 years, never looked at it. And I finally, suddenly one day, got an invitation to a writer's conference. And I thought, where did that come from? And so I looked into it. It was very expensive. I have a little stash of money. I just collect them once a month, you know, just to kind of keep, looked in my little stash. It was just almost exactly enough to pay for the conference and an airplane ticket there. I thought, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And I thought, I'm just going to take this manuscript down there and hand it off to a publisher, and he'll just run with it, and I'll be done with all this writing business because this is not what I do. And, of course, I got down there and met some magazine editors, and they were interested in some articles and published a couple of articles, got paid for them. I thought, ooh, this is kind of fun. And so then it just kind of went from there, and I began publishing some Chicken Soup for the Soul stories. And that was also something I thought, they're not going to publish anything I write. You know, I haven't done this very much. And lo and behold, the first two I published were in a Nurse's Soul book. Mm. And it was about two experiences, one about the little girl I mentioned, and then another patient I had. And so just things kind of escalated from there. But I always enjoyed doing the short pieces. And I tell people at writers' conferences, you know, a book is great, but unless you are highly, highly popular, your book's not is going to do well. If you publish 5,000 copies, sell 5,000 copies, you'll be doing well. But some of these magazines I published in had readerships of 2.1 million people and thousands, some others, thousands and thousands of people. So if you've got a message to get out, which any of us who are Christians, we have a message to get out.
Amen.
And a lot of us have a passion about a certain topic. That's the way to go. Are the magazines, now the podcasts, the online publications. That's really the way to go to get your word out.
Amen. Let's talk a little bit about some of your published works. Okay. You have 30 articles in Chicken Soup for the Soul. Are you someone they approach, say, hey, we got this topic and we want you to write about it? Or do you still have to find out what they're doing like everybody else?
No. In fact, I say with Chicken Soup of the Soul, everyone's on a level playing field. It's a great market for experienced or inexperienced writers, because really all they're doing is looking for a good story. And so they have online, they have their upcoming book topics, and anybody can go there. Plus, I have a newsletter that I put out called The Right Life. And we send the story call outs for Chicken Soup of the Soul and a few other anthologies. Guideposts will sometimes send me a couple. And so that's you look at the story call out, and then you have to write toward that topic. Okay. And now I actually teach workshops on writing for Chicken Soup of the Soul. And I have an online course about writing for them with Serious Writer. So it's really been a lot of fun. We do workshops and all kinds of things about it, but there's a lot to learn about it, and you have a lot of competition with Chicken Soup of the Soul.
They
publish 101 stories in each book, and they usually get 3,000-5,000 submissions.
Wow.
But amen. Yeah, amen. But they,
and what
they,
are some of the other, you mentioned some of the other anthologies, share some of those with our readers.
Guideposts. Yeah. Usually, we'll have one, one or two, they usually do something about angels or miracles. So if you have any stories along those lines, that's a good topic. Yvonne Lehman puts out books called Moments Books, and she looks for stories on different topics. Right now, she'll do usually a Christmas book every year or two. And then she'll also do, right now she's got one on cancer. Hers are not paying publications, but all the money goes to Samaritan's Purse. So it's a good publication, and we just get various ones now and then. But Chicken Soup of the Soul is the main one that I send out. Amen.
And you've also written articles for Focus on the Family, correct?
I have. It's been a while. They've kind of changed their way of requesting articles, but I did quite a few at the time for a while there. Yeah. They're a wonderful publication.
There's been Women's World and Lifeway Publications and a lot of different periodicals as well over the years, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're one of them let me call so-and-so. And you got all in the Rolodex, right?
Not really. I usually still do my research. And that's one thing I teach at workshops too, is how to research and how to find these publications that want your writing.
Amen. But none of these was ever a book. And these were articles or chapters, basically like Chicken Soup for the Soul. What took so long for you to decide to just take the plunge and write your first book?
Well, I think mostly because I just enjoy doing the short pieces. I could write something and then I could move on to something else. I could do a totally different topic, or when you write devotions, each one is totally different, and I just enjoy doing that. Of course, there's a lot of marketing involved with a book too. That's a whole different aspect of writing that people who think I'm just going to write my memoir, and then everybody's going to buy it. It just doesn't happen that way. So it's a whole nother world when you get into writing a book, but it's been quite a learning process, and I have enjoyed it.
That says something for someone with your background that you're still learning as you're doing this.
Oh, you're always learning. That's right.
Well, your book, Health, Healing, Whole and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. It's a devotion with 30 different inspirational stories, but with a focus on health issues. What made you decide to do this as a devotional?
Well, because I really wanted to offer hope to people. I just think a devotional in which you relate it to God's word. And that's one thing I said in my book proposal when I first started approaching publishers, was that I want these to be scripture rich devotions. I want people to see God's hand throughout the situation, and then it bringing hope to the readers. A lot of people say that the people who have read it so far say that they couldn't read just one a day. It's like a 30-day devotional, but they said, I just sat down and read the whole thing all the way through. Wow. And they said it just brought so much hope. And some of these people have serious chronic illnesses. And they said it was just very brought peace and healing for them in their spirits.
Amen. How does your book differ from other devotionals, though? I mean, is it just the focus on the health-related issues and God's process of healings, or explain that?
Yeah, mostly. And like I said, there just didn't seem to be a lot of choice out there for devotionals on this topic. The ones that were out there, a lot of them would focus on cancer. And of course, that is a major issue. No one wants to hear the C word. But there are a whole lot of health problems other than cancer that can devastate a person's life. I know, and this is not in my book either, but I met recently someone who whose doctor was thought that she had Charcot's foot. And I thought, I have never heard of Charcot's foot. I had to look it up. And I found that she was facing the possibility of having both feet amputated. Mm. Well, yeah, that's not cancer, but my goodness, how would that affect your life? She's in the middle of caring for her mother and has stairs in her house, you know, can't imagine. So there are a lot of different health problems, injuries, things that can happen to us that just throw us, that we don't have any way of foreseeing. No matter how well we take care of our bodies, it doesn't mean they're going to break down, not going to break down, not going to have something happen. Yeah. So I wanted a book that spoke to a lot of different situations that anybody, you know, a lot of books out there on breast cancer, but you're not going to relate to that. You might be a caregiver for someone who has that, but you know, a man's not going to relate to that. So I wanted a lot of different issues to be represented. So that people could relate to those.
Amen. And these 30 devotionals, are they based on true life experiences, or are they like a compilation of general situations that you put into story form to get your point across, like Jesus and his parables?
No, these are all true life situations, every one of them. They came from either my nursing experiences or my caregiving experiences. I cared for my mom and dad for 6 years. They had multiple health problems. My mom had something called normal pressure hydrocephalus, which most people have never heard of. She was misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's, but I knew something else was wrong. There were odd motor symptoms. She would walk on the side of her foot or lean over and not even realize it. And I just tossed and turned every night trying to figure out what was wrong. And finally I said, Lord, you know, I've investigated everything I know to investigate. I'm just trying to think of what could be wrong. And I'm just trying to play God here, and you're God. And so, Lord, please just give me the answer. And as I was falling asleep that night, he brought to mind a friend whose dad had similar symptoms. And I thought, what was it he was diagnosed with? And normal pressure hydrocephalus is what came to mind. Mm-hmm. Next day I looked it up. She had all the symptoms. But still, both the neurologist and neurosurgeon looked me in the eye and said, she doesn't have that. And I said, how do you know? And they said, it doesn't show up on the MRI. But I had done my research and found that there was a specialized test that you could do that it didn't always show up on the MRI. And so I pushed for that test, and they found that she did have it, and it was a treatable condition. Amen. Whereas Alzheimer's, there's not a whole lot you can do. This was a treatable condition. Amen. And so anyway, I just wanted to present different situations like that that would, you know, speak to different people. A little boy was run over, and this was a homeschool family, was run over by an SUV 3 times. Ooh. In a parking lot. And I know most people think, how could you do that? But you don't realize how many kids that get run over in driveways and things. They don't get run over once. They get run over twice because the person says, what was that I ran over? And they back up. Yeah. And he survived with minimal injuries. So, yeah. You know, God is still in the miracle business.
Yeah,
he is. Amen. He may not cure us of every disease that we want him to cure us of, but he is still in the miracle business.
Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's episode with Tracy Crump, as we've been talking with her about her new book, Health, Healing, and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. Now, her background as an ICU nurse and then making essentially a transition to a career in writing, it's just fascinating. And she is a multiple contributing author to that great book series, Chicken Soup for the Soul, as well as other multiple publications. This just attests to the fact that her writing is, well, captivating, amen? And this work that she's just released as you've been listening to her in this episode, is something you will definitely want to add to your must-read list. Amen? In fact, right now, while you're thinking about this, go down into the show notes and order your copy today. And be sure to come back for part two of this great interview with Tracy Crum. I guarantee this next episode is even more interesting as we go deeper into her book, Health, Healing, and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.